It's Monday, and this is Rantay Today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside. Welcome to the show.
And I am Tay Eric Taylor, and just welcome to another great Monday of just sports talk and sports radio. Join us on the journey, man. We love when you get on the ride, the plane, the ship with us. 718-664-9098. Hit us up on the email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, as well as the Twitter and the Facebook, and that's RAEANDTAY today. And, oh, man, it's a passionate weekend, and I'm very irritated. Ray, let them know what's going on and what we going to talk about, man.
Oh, yeah. So it's a big football show. It's a big football show. We had a big week 15 in the NFL. But we'll do our normal breaking news. Not a lot, but we'll give you some breaking news today, breaking news in the world of sports. We'll go through these NFL games last night from last night and yesterday, week 15. We have our normal segment after the weekend, Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay will give you our best and worst of the weekend. We will go through this preview of this barely NFL game. No, it's an NFL game. Jets and Titans.
Hey, the Jets are mathematically alive.
I know. Jets could be in the playoffs. Oh, Lord. And this is coming from a Jet fan. We'll get into that. And then we'll end the show with a little run around the NBA. We've got a big game tonight for all you Knicks fans with the return of Jeremy Lin Saturday. It's the Knicks. So, yeah, let's kick it off with some breaking news. So, Tay, what's going on out there?
Well, look, I don't know. I guess the biggest thing that I can think about is obviously, you know, we have R.A. Dickey with the trade from the Mets. Kind of disappointed about the Mets. You know, they get a good minor leaguer back, right? But they
a great catching prospect, they say.
Very, very good. You know, people, you know, I've even heard Piazza-type rumors. But, you know, we'll see who he is. But Dickey goes and signs with the Blue Jays for 2 years, $25 million extension. It's not that much money, ladies and gentlemen, for a knuckleballer who just won the Cy Young for you. Little disappointed in the Mets, but if this prospect turns out, I guess, you know, you got to do it. But, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know. Then
you
I see,
New
well, yeah, your boy Drew.
Dominic McGuire. Oh.
Yeah.
We're staying in baseball. Yeah, sure, Drew.
Yeah, Drew decides to join the Red Sox. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays are kind of making some moves this year. I don't know. I mean, they're definitely trying to step it up and do their different things. So that's kind of interesting. What were you going to say? What else were you?
Yeah, so New Orleans signs Dominic McGuire because Jason Smith is hurt. So Hornets making a move there. And then the other thing that came out is it's a little bit early for this because we haven't hit conference play, but the pre-conference season college basketball rankings came out, and I looked at it and I thought to myself, wow, this is 1988 or something like that, maybe early 90s. So the top five, I'll read you the top five.
Well, Indiana had a big loss. Butler beat
them. Right. So Indiana's number
six. That's a big story right there.
Right? So I guess they're a late 80s, early 90s team. But the teams are as follows. Duke is number one. Michigan's number two. Syracuse is number three. Arizona's number four. And Louisville's number five. You're like, wow, this could be any year in the late 80s, early 90s. These are
Well, it's good to see. And give Butler some credit. I remember a couple shows, you know, a while ago, I was telling you I liked that Butler team. And then they upset Indiana, and now they're ranked number 19 in the nation. So,
and they might join the seven. Yeah, they're talking about they might join those seven Catholic schools that are leaving the Big East. So they need to get to a number that's at least 8, if not 10 or 12.
I would think they would do 10 to 12, yeah.
powerhouse.
But what are the? Well, I see. This is the thing. You leave the Big East to do what and to call it what, and does this be a basketball conference?
Yes. So you'd be a basketball conference for the purpose of the NCAA tournament and for the purpose of the media rights, and then if somebody has a football program, they'd be in another conference. They would just be. For years, I mean, people did that, right? For years, Connecticut, you know, did that. Villanova had a football program. They just weren't.
Notre Dame, yeah.
Big East. Well, Notre Dame had a Division One, you know, what they're calling FBS now, but they had a Division One football team. But teams could have football that's, you know, not prime time and basketball that is prime time. And I think that's what will happen to these schools if they do want to have a football program or attract teams that have a great basketball program and not really that football tradition. So we'll see.
Yeah. It should be kind of interesting. But, you know, not that many injuries yesterday except for Torrey Smith got a concussion in that loss to the Broncos, and we jumped up for that pass and kind of landed or whatever.
Landed
so
on
we'll
his butt.
How...
I was like, well, how did he get a concussion off that? But you never know.
Yeah, no, he kind of jarred his head back a little. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, it is what it is. So let's jump into it, and let's talk some football, man. Last night, after a very interesting day, well, you know what? Before we get to the games, let's have a little fun with the fantasy, right? Ray and Tay, Ray is a commissioner. I'm sort of like a co-commissioner. We both got guys to join the league, 12-man league. It's a money league, CBS Sports. We've been doing it for years, called Real Ball. And this year, as of, you know, after tonight, the championship game will be Ray versus Tay.
The Ray and Tay Bowl.
Yeah, I had a huge win yesterday, 159 to 152 over the number one seed, Express, Tito, shout out to him. AP and my boys got busy, Russell Wilson, Seahawks defense. I got nothing out of Tynes and Cruz. But, my guys stepped up, the law firm, you know, Dallas Clark. You know, I had a good time. And then, Ray, tell him how you took care of my cousin Jay Robinson, pimping.
Well, it's technically not over, but if the Jets... The Jets would have to score 41 tonight, so I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
But you know, it's not a done deal. Nothing's for sure.
Well, Pimpin did not have a normal game. I mean,
a little bit lucky because you know I had a couple of guys underachieve. So I mean, Peyton didn't give me a typical Peyton game. Got some good points from Sproles and Marshawn Lynch. Reggie Wayne only had 3 catches for 14 yards. A.J. Green was okay for his standards. Gresham and Graham did okay. Everybody did okay.
Okay. If you mess around and do that next week, you're going to lose the chip to me, playboy. Taylor May don't play.
Yeah, but, you know, my teams are coming back. I had a down week. Now, luckily, the guy I went up against, Jay, I actually feel sorry for him. He had just the worst combination of luck that you could have because he had guys on 2 teams that didn't score, like, period. The team didn't score, not his players, the team.
Yeah.
So he had 2 Bucks. He had
Well, that happened
Doug
to me
Martin,
with the Giants in Tampa.
Doug Martin and Mike Williams, and he also had Eli Manning. So he caught 3 team zeros. And therefore, you know, when your team catches a zero, you know your players aren't going to do that much. Manning had
it's hard to get points.
Yeah, Manning had 2.4 points, and Williams that not much.
Yeah.
So, not a
I
great
went through
week
it,
for
man.
Him. But yeah, I'll take it. I'll take any win I can get. And then it's the Ray and Table. So maybe on Friday we'll talk a little bit about our rosters and our moves.
Yeah, we'll have to really get into it on Friday. But let's talk about last night, maybe a Super Bowl preview. It was kind of a classic game. You know, the Niners hold on to beat the Patriots in New England 41-34. So the Niners go to 10-3-1, kind of weird record because of the tie with the Rams. And the Patriots are 10-4. Give me your thoughts on this game, man.
Well, you know what's interesting?
I'll get that in a sec. You know what's interesting about the Patriots is they have a chance to now lose home field advantage to the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, the Broncos are
the
number two seed right now. Yeah.
But here's the thing. The Broncos and the Texans, and they beat both of those teams. So
it's hilarious,
it'll be kind of
right?
funny. They'll be the third-ranked team, potentially, behind two teams they've beaten already. But anyway, so, you know, it's funny because I've been reading some stuff around you know, what people are saying. Oh, is this good for the Niners, bad for the Niners, good for the Patriots, bad? Like, what part of this argument do you like? Do you like the fact that the Niners, who we didn't think had much of an offensive firepower, go out and score 41, or the fact that they gave up 28 unanswered in the blink of an eye? So to me, I'm going to tend to look at the positive side for the Niners. I think your defense travels. I think your defense comes with you. And remember the Patriots, remember what we were saying, the Patriots were a little bit behind the all-time pace for all-time offensive points scored. So this is a phenomenal offensive team and very untraditional. So the fact that you give up 34 to the Patriots, it's still the Patriots. So if I'm a Niners fan today, I say to myself, you know what? We can get on the defense, and the defense can travel, and the defense can help us in the playoffs. What I saw was some explosiveness from Colin Kaepernick, four touchdowns. He only threw 25 passes, but he threw for four touchdowns. And I saw some guys. I saw Michael Crabtree make an explosive play. I saw Randy Moss catch a touchdown. I saw Delaney Walker out of the backfield catching a touchdown. So if I'm the Niners, I'm actually pretty happy. And you know what? You gave up 31 points, so your ego, 34 points, your ego might be a little hurt, but this is the Patriots. I mean, this is a phenomenal offensive team. And nobody is like them in the league with Brady, the little targets in Welker and Lloyd, the tight ends, you know, the multiple running backs. It's just a hard team to prepare for. So to me, I look at this as – Niners showed some offensive explosion, and NFC teams better beware. The Niners are coming. And the Patriots are who we thought they were, right? They're a great team. They might have trouble with teams that are more physical than them, and especially teams that can give Brady trouble up the middle and get him off of his spot and move him around. But you know what? The Patriots, it's almost irrelevant for the Patriots. They just need to make the playoffs, and then they're a nightmare to match up against.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what I noticed and I thought about this game. I was definitely not shocked about Gore, you know, not even shocked anymore about Kaepernick. I think the explosiveness is why Harbaugh made the shift, and I like the arm, and, you know, hey, I like what he did. I like to see Crabtree, though, you know, 7 for 107. He's like a number one receiver now. Kind of concerned about Vernon Davis seeming to disappear out of this offense a bit. That concerns me. But what I will say, in terms of this type of game, it's good to see the Niners, because I don't think with Alex Smith they could have a shootout with the Patriots. And I think now with Kaepernick, his threat to run, and what I like is that he doesn't really run that much, but his threat, but he's a pocket quarterback, and that's what he's doing. This is the issue, though, right? I didn't like... You know, without Gronk, they need Gronk back, and he'll be back for the playoffs, and he practiced and might play next week or the week after, week 17, we'll see. But, you know, okay, Ridley fumbles and then doesn't really get that much. And I think Woodhead did a good job, but I think they actually needed Ridley in this game. I think Ridley is a little bit more explosive, and only to get 9 carries for 23 yards. You know, I know he was kind of being bottled up, but I would have maybe given Ridley the ball some more. I like to see them use Lloyd. I mean, Lloyd, gosh, huge day like he used to do back in Denver, right? 10 for 190. I mean, it's a little bit late for us fantasy fans who had him, and I had him at another league. But, you know, you've got Lloyd and then Hernandez with 10 balls for 92. You know, that's good. I just think the Patriots they're at a place where they are getting better in the sense that they're going to be getting healthier. So I think both these teams are actually in the perfect spot. This game is a wash for both of them, and I think they're both ready to rock and roll when it comes playoff time. So I thought it was a good win for the Niners, because it's hard to win in New England No one's done it in December, late game, like since like 02 or 03, whatever. And that was a huge win for the, you know, quarterback who's only started his fifth game in Kaepernick. So, you know, that was interesting to me. But
yeah,
I don't know where Vernon Davis is. I don't know if he went back to Maryland to take some graduate courses, but I haven't seen him play football in a couple of weeks. So
oh
I'm a little I'm a little concerned about my man Vernon Davis.
Yeah, we need to throw an APB out on him because he's too talented and too gifted physically to not be dominating his position. And he's not only not dominating, we're questioning, has he shown up? What do you have, one catch for 10 yards? I mean,
oh, in
come
fantasy
on.
Football, you can't even play him anymore.
Yeah, forget fantasy. Real life football, where are you? Where are you at? We might need to
where
throw
you
him
at?
On where you at spotlight. All right, well, we put it off
now
long
we
enough.
Go.
We put it off long enough. How about them Cowboys?
Oh,
so,
shut up. I was listening
Steelers.
Back to our show on Friday, and fans should check it out to hear our picks. I had 30-27, so I was a little bit closer. I just had the wrong team. You had 23-17. I'll say this. Let me get my rant out first, since I'm the loser. I give you your props. I think overall, if I'm honest with myself, you guys controlled the game more, especially in the first half. I think Antonio Brown himself made like three or four major mistakes. The one thing I will say that I noticed, though, is that and Big Ben kind of took some jabs in the press conference at Haley. I don't like some of the play calling, and I think we kind of got out of rhythm a little bit, if I'm being honest. I think that we stopped going to Heath Miller. I think, you know, some of the play calling, you know, if we do no huddle, I think we had you guys with that. It was one of those things where our mistakes, they really bit us in the butt, you know. And that happens in any football game, right? I mean, it's not just, you know, so you guys, it's anybody. But it really affected us in a way that I was like, wow, I don't know. You know, what's going on. I'll say this about Ben. He's great, and so is Romo. I mean, they both can really just extend the play like crazy. I mean, you know, like that touchdown to Heath Miller, it was a perfect example of what Ben does. And, you know, Romo can come back and do the same thing. So it was definitely a shootout back and forth. But I think it's kind of frustrating to give the game away on a pickoff like that, you know. And, hey, give Carr credit. He made a great play. But, you know, I think we should have won the game. But, hey, you guys did what you had to do. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I just think that we needed a little bit more running. You know, Big Ben was 24 for 40?
24 for 40.
You
Over
know, and to me, yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. He passed all over you guys. And I thought he would be able to do that. I don't know if that's too much. You know, Isaac Redman looked good, but I don't think we ran the ball enough. You know, I mean, you look at Redman, he had three carries, and Dwyer had
nine.
Nine. That's just not enough.
Three.
We got to run the ball more. And so to me, if you run the ball more and go to the tight end, you know, I don't know. I'm frustrated, but I will say this. Our season just lies on the fact that we have to, at home, beat the Bengals and beat the Browns. And I think we can do it, and I think we will still make the sixth seed. And once the Steelers get in the playoffs, anything's possible. But, I mean, come on. Heath Miller was 7 for 92 in a touchdown. He had a great game. But they just stopped going to him. So, anyway,
wow.
Congratulations. The Cowboys freaking suck. And the Steelers should have won the game. But that's enough, and you talk about your team. Ugh.
Well, look. I think both of these teams are borderline playoff teams. I really think that the Steelers have trouble this year. This isn't the Steelers of old. I think that the injuries on defense, and you're getting a little bit long in the tooth on defense, and this
Ike Taylor.
Who thought that you'd be sitting here saying you miss Ike Taylor? But between Taylor and Polamalu and
Harrison, give him credit. He's improved. He's like a cover corner now. Ike Taylor's game, the last 2 years, he's been a top cornerback.
But in the beginning of his career, you wanted to get rid of Ike.
No,
you wanted
he was
to
kind
throw
of a mess.
Ike to the curb. But, you know, the Cowboys, for the first time in a long time, didn't make the mistakes that cost them a close game. So
yeah.
Romo threw no interceptions. He only was sacked once, despite that offensive line being shaky. And the Pittsburgh Steelers played the role of the Dallas Cowboys, where critical fumble by Antonio Brown, critical punt return that they gave up to Harris, and then critical interception in overtime by Roethlisberger, and Carr makes a great play.
What about Brown going out of bounds? A
and
whole
Brown
bunch of
going
things.
Out of bounds, costing a timeout. These are all the mistakes that the Cowboys made. So that's what I'm saying. Both of these teams are basically borderline playoff teams. I can't say that either of these teams really deserves to be in the playoff, but
I'll give you love for Murray, though, Ray. 14 for 81. If you give Murray at least 20 carries a game, I think it's hard to beat you guys.
Yeah, I just have a question. Why are his pants always coming down? He's always lifting up his pants. And Dez Bryant, they're always lifting up their pants. Like, Jerry, invest in some better uniforms, man. What's going on?
Wait, but okay, I hear you on that one, and that's mad funny. And then for me, I got to say, though, what the heck is Ben doing holding on to the ball so long in the pocket? He
but
was just letting
him.
Guys
that's
sack
ben
him. I'm like, there were some times he could have ran, Ray. He could have ran and got 10 yards, and he's just sitting there letting these guys hit him.
Forget about
when Spencer got that sack.
Throw the ball away.
Oh, my God, throw it away or run. I'm like, what are you doing, Ben?
You know what it is? I think it's that machismo. That's just his thing. I stay in the pocket. And, look, he's won a lot of games with that, and he's won two Super Bowls with that. So it's hard to talk him down from that tree, right? He's thinking to himself, that's my job. Be the tough guy. Stay in, you know, Ohio kid. He's tough. Stay in the pocket as long as I can and make that play and help my team. But, yeah, I think look, you're in a good position as a Steeler fan. You control your own destiny. You can't ask for more than that after 14 weeks and having a, you know, and having a 7-7 record. But you control
and
your own destiny.
Having two games at home. That's the blessing.
Yep. So let's move on.
Let's go on.
Yeah, so we got another rivalry, NFC North rivalry, Packers and Bears. And the truth of the matter is, this didn't live up to the billing. They were talking a lot of smack for this game. I was thinking it would be some explosiveness. It was very not explosive, but Packers
were. Oh, the yin yang they were talking?
Yeah, they were talking a lot of, you're too old, you're too this, you can't play, you're not good enough, you're better without Urlacher, you're Michael Finley, you're not really an elite tight end, whatever. But bottom line is Packers took care of business on the road, 21-13. Bears are in trouble. Bears are now tied.
Which both of us predicted on Friday.
Right. Bears are tied. They're five teams at 8-6 fighting for that last playoff spot, assuming Seattle takes the first one. So
right. And we'll really talk about the playoffs on Wednesday show. We'll break down who they play, the scenarios, all that, definitely.
Yeah. So Packers did just enough. I mean, Rodgers threw his three touchdowns. So he had his nice game, not his Aaron Rodgers circa 2011 game, but his Aaron Rodgers 2012 game where he's good, not great. The only people that really, did work for the Bears, I mean, who did work for the Bears? That's nobody. I mean, that's my thing. Who showed up for the Bears? Brandon Marshall caught a touchdown, but that's about it. They couldn't get
this is why I didn't play Cutler in my fantasy football league and went with Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Well, Russell was a hero the most. But in this game, so we know who the Packers are. They were great last year in the regular season. They're pretty good this year in the regular season. They can beat anybody, especially if they can run the ball and get some defense. But let's focus on the Bears.
Well, they kind of locked down your Brandon Marshall, right?
Well, exactly.
Six
so if you're in Chicago and you're a Bears fan, are you optimistic about this playoff run? What are you looking at your team
if I'm
now?
I'm a Bears fan. I'm only optimistic that, number one, the young kid who got two offensive pass interference, Alshon Jeffrey, seems to be healthy, and I think him and Cutler can work it out so that will give Marshall some help. Obviously, he threw the pickoff when Hester ran the wrong route, and he was really pissed by that. I think that he just goes to Marshall too much because he doesn't trust the other guys. I think Forte 5 for 64 receiving and, you know, doing, you know, 20 for 69 rushing. Not a big game, but at least, you know, he sort of moved the clock a little and kept the Bears alive by himself. I'll say this. They need to get healthy, but they're so lucky that they play Arizona and then Detroit the last 2 weeks. I think the Bears might back into the playoffs, like, you know, barely beat Arizona and barely beat Detroit just because those two teams are kind of reeling. This Bear team is probably going to get bumped in the first round, and I would question if Lovie comes back. I mean, hey, it's not really Lovie's fault. The players and you know, they don't stay healthy. And maybe you really get on the GM, right? Because the offensive line has not really been addressed the way that it should be. I don't understand how the Bears took forever to get Cutler some toys, right, through trade, free agency, and draft. And when they finally do, poor guy, you know, they don't stay healthy. But along the way, you don't do anything for the offensive line. I just don't get it. I really just don't get the Bears, you know, their front office.
I have a theory that the defenses in the last 10 years have become so good and the guys have become so athletic, and I don't know if it's what we put in the Gatorade or what we spike in our, you know, in our Kool-Aid, but the offensive lines just can't keep up. How many, forget about bad teams, how many good teams out there are really good and yet still have mediocre offensive lines? You know what I mean? It seems like there's just not enough good offensive linemen.
Okay, the Niners, the Patriots, the Texans, the Steelers when they're healthy, the Bengals.
The Steelers have offensive line issues. The Bears have offensive line issues.
Well, we just drafted
Cowboys
two studs.
Have offensive line issues. I'm not saying you don't have talent here and there. I'm just saying there's a lot of decent playoff teams that don't have offensive line stability.
Yeah. I think, but some teams focus on it. Look, the Bears.
The Packers
don't have
a great offensive line.
No, the Packers don't, and they lost one of their guys in free agency, you know. But, yeah, we'll see. Kudos to the Packers, you know, winning the division title. And, you know, and we go on from there, you know. I don't know what's going to happen to the Bears, and we'll figure and talk about this some more. So why don't we keep it moving, and let's talk about this Texans-Colts game, a battle in the AFC South. The Texans win, and they're 12-2, and the Colts should not be embarrassed at all at 9-5, lose the game 29-17. And I'll say this, I expected the Texans to win this game and whatever, but I think the Colts, they can be encouraged. I think that they played a game that was, you know, better, I don't want to say than expected, but better than the final score. The one thing I would really say about this game that jumped out to me, you knew after that embarrassing loss, the Texans would bounce back, and you knew that their superstars took it personal. I think J.J. Watt was all over the field with, like, 3 sacks, 6 or 7 tackles, a couple of smackdowns. Andre Johnson, who will be a Hall of Famer with way over 11,000 yards, 11 receptions for 151 and a touchdown. He got busy. And then the fourth leading rusher in the NFL, Arian Foster, 27 for 165.
So this is exactly who we thought the Houston Texans would be. Schaub, Foster, and Johnson leading the way, the big three leading the way and doing their thing. And I think we both predicted it. Coming off the loss, the Texans were just that. You didn't want to meet the Texans this week. I don't think anybody would have beaten the Texans this week, even though the Texans didn't. I mean, the score was they were up 12, but I don't know that they dominated the game. But Houston gets a rematch, or I should say Indianapolis gets a rematch in 2 weeks. So we'll see. Luck.
We'll see if the Texans are playing, you know, full out in that game, right? I mean, they might have number one seed wrapped up or, you know, maybe they'll play part of it. Who knows? But I will say this, Luck, man, he didn't have a great game. I think there were times where, you know, 186 yards, 2 touchdowns, but I think there were times where, you know, where he gets picked or throws, you know, bad passes, I think.
Well, he was forcing it to Reggie Wayne.
Well, exactly, but I think Wade Phillips sometimes was confusing him. You know, I really think that. And Wade Phillips, don't get me wrong, can do this to anybody. And he did get a big break with the big bomb to T.Y. Hilton right before the half, right? I mean, that was, you know, that was huge.
Right.
So,
and if you're a Houston Texans fan, as great as they are with the big three and offensive firepower, and Wade Phillips and his defensive schemes, they give up too many big plays. They give up too many big plays to be a Super Bowl champion. You know, I have them in the Super Bowl against the Packers, but they've got to stop that. And I don't know if they become conservative and, you know, that's not Wade Phillips' style to play that cover two and just have two safeties back there at all times. But they're giving up way too many.
I don't like it. And I have them against the Niners. And I can say right now, Peyton Manning and the Broncos or Brady and the Pats, they could beat the Texans in Texas if they have to. But let me ask you this about the Colts. Do you think that they found their running back? 18 attempts, 105 yards, and he can catch out of the backfield. 5.8 a carry. This kid Ballard is kind of nice, right?
He could be. No, he's nice. Look, he's real nice. I like him. I like what he has to. I like what he has to offer. I thought during the year they'd have a great rotation if everybody stayed healthy. You know, Donald Brown and Vic Ballard. So he can play. He can play. I give him credit. And I think that Luck needs that because, you know, he's got some receivers. He's got a few tight ends. If they can get a running game, that'll be a pretty balanced offense. Hold on. I think we have a caller here. Let's
All right.
On the caller, see what we've got. Caller,
hey guys,
you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Mike on the cell. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Mike.
What's
up?
Good, Mike. Welcome to Rain Tay. How you doing?
Yeah, I've been a long time listener, first time caller here. Comment and question for you, Ray. I'm a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan, about 30 years now, and I'm watching the game yesterday. And I'll be honest with you, I was disgusted seeing Josh Brent on the sideline. I know his mother is all for this. I don't have a problem with Brent going to the funeral. You know, his mom wanted Brent at the funeral.
Yeah, Brown's mom. Right.
Yes, but to have him on the sideline, parading him around on national TV, I thought was inappropriate. This isn't the first rodeo for Brent. He did the same thing at Illinois, got caught for DUI, didn't turn out as bad as, you know, this with someone dying. But I thought it was just very inappropriate. And it's hard for me to believe, even though his mother wanted him there, that an organization like the Cowboys would use that as the reason to have him on the sidelines. Would like your thoughts, Ray. I know you're a Cowboys fan. Your thoughts when you first saw him on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was surprised. You know, it's one thing when you go to a private funeral and the mother said, look, these guys have been friends since their days of playing together at Illinois, and so really you respect the fact that she put out the olive branch and said, you know, I want you to sit with me because I know that you're going through some terrible things yourself. But it's totally different for the Cowboys organization, right? Because you can support the guy without having him on the sidelines and like you say, parading him around on national TV. So I was shocked, actually. I was shocked that he was there, especially given that the NFL is so strict because this guy's probably going to go to jail and probably going to go to jail for a while. So, you know, I don't want to make a statement about, you know, how I personally feel because it's not me. It's the Cowboys and their organization, and it's Jerry Jones, and he decided that was right for them. But I'll just say that I was definitely shocked. I didn't think he'd be there. I thought that the Cowboys would sort of say, hey, you're part of our family, and if you end up going to jail, we'll support you, and you know, you'll always be a Cowboy, that sort of thing. But I definitely didn't expect him to be on the sideline. If anything, also because I thought it might be a distraction. I mean, ultimately, you have the football game at hand on Sunday, and so there's a time to support him and maybe bring him into the facility and check in on him and make sure that, you know, everything's going okay and that he, you know, goes and goes through the legal process and then ends up paying his dues. But I really didn't expect him on the sideline. So I think it's
embarrassing. I got to say, I think it's embarrassing, and not because I'm a Steelers fan and I don't like the Cowboys, but I just think when we're talking about you know, Goodell and all these things with the NFL, and I know it wasn't up to him, but we're trying to, I guess, portray, like, okay, I don't know, positive this, positive that, let's clean up the game, yada, yada. There's just no place for, and I know that they were best friends. I know what the mother felt, but as an organization, it just shouldn't have happened. Not on the sidelines.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. And just on a lighter note, to the actual game itself, a problem I'm seeing with the Cowboys, and this is going to be for a long time, is these visiting fans in their stadium. Yesterday,
it was so loud.
Yeah,
the Steelers,
I mean, you got
baby.
30% of the crowd, I guess, they did an estimate, were Steeler fans. Now, how do you build a winning team that's going to have a home field advantage when the other team, you know, are getting these, you know, big support in your own stadium? I mean, I believe the Cowboys' record since they opened the stadium is something like 17-15 or something like that. I just see it as a problem. You need those eight games, you know, where a team's going to come in there and it's going to be a tough environment to play, and it's like it's almost you know, it benefits the road team, you know, coming into the billion-dollar stadium. It's almost like a mini Super Bowl, and to the Cowboys, it's just another home game.
Well, that's actually a great point. I like that point.
Be fair, the Steelers travel better than... Yeah, they travel better than any fans in the NFL. But I would agree with you in a sense. I think with the Cowboys, it's too corporate, and that's why...
Well, that's
the
problem.
The
when you fill the stadium that's 100,000 people, you got to fill 100,000 people. And the old stadium, like all the traditional football stadiums in the 60s and 70s, sat about 80,000. So you've got now 25% more fans and season tickets that you have to go out and sell. So the problem is, I bet the Cowboys, as a marketing department, and even StubHub and other ticket resellers, probably know that this is a hot ticket for road teams. So they market it as, come to Dallas, and I'm sure that Dallas, even the Dallas Chamber of Commerce is probably involved. Come to Dallas, have a great weekend, come see the Cowboys in this magnificent $1.2 billion stadium with the 60-yard-long, you know, scoreboard. And so it's a problem. You're 100% right. Jerry Jones, you know, wants to have his cake and eat it too, right? Build this stadium that's great, and it's a great home field advantage, but you got to sell out 100,000 seats. So in order to do that, you have to pull in fans from the road team. And it'll be a problem from now on. I mean, the Cowboys, and I don't know the dynamics of the noise in the stadium, but you're right. If 20% of the fans are rooting for the other team, that's not a huge home field advantage.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And just a final comment, guys. As a Cowboys fan, just the way I think this season's going to play out is, I mean, these guys, when they're low and you know nobody expects anything out of them, you know they come out of nowhere and they get your hopes up as a Cowboys fan. But if we need to go to Washington and win that game to win the division and go to the playoffs, I don't think we're going to do it.
Yeah,
I just had that feeling in the back of me. I've seen it over and over and over again with this team. Now Jerry Jones is talking, you know, putting playoff tickets in the players' locker rooms. All the media is over the Cowboys. They don't play good when things are going good. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm 100% wrong. But going into Washington, if RG3's healthy, have a bad feeling about it, guys. And appreciate the time. Love the show. You guys take care.
Thanks
for the
calling,
call.
Mike. Definitely,
it.
Man.
You bet.
Keep listening and keep calling. I appreciate it. But I will say this, right, for Mike and Tal and the millions of Cowboy fans out there, and this is someone who does not like your team, I will say this. You guys have fought through all these injuries, and I give you credit for that because Sean Lee, Ratliff, this one, that one. I think all you got to do is ride DeMarco Murray. I saw something in that Steeler game that I was just like, this team's not that bad. It's like, you know, Romo was clutch, and you got Wynn. Miles Austin finally looks healthy. He looks fast. The hamstring looked good. I just think Murray needs 20 carries a game. Not 14. He needs 20. You give him 20, you could beat Washington.
I agree that they need to run Murray more. I mean, they're almost treating him like a little back. They're almost treating him like Tony Dorsett, where they're giving him the ball. I guess they're easing him back in from those injuries and probably getting back in shape. But what Mike said is absolutely true, especially the last 10 years. This, the modern era, right? Not the Troy Aikman, Michael
Irvin.
Oh, they
break your heart all the time.
You know,
those,
they break your heart. They make the critical turnover. They make the critical penalty. They make the critical, you know, missed extra point against Seattle where Tony Romo fumbles the ball, you know. But this will be a great – look, you can only put one foot in front of the other, and this will be a great test for the Cowboys. They're 8-6 right now, and if it comes down to a final game, how appropriate would that be? Week 17 against the Redskins whatever they're calling it now, FedEx Field.
One of the best rivalries in sports,
avenging that loss that they had on Thanksgiving Day when the Cowboys looked terrible and Washington dominated them. So, look, Cowboys have a chance, just like the Steelers do.
Yeah.
Win your two games, handle your business, and go to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, let's look at our final game. Let's keep it moving. This was, wow, the gunslinger, the sheriff, 11-3. The Denver Broncos go into Baltimore and win against the now 9-5 Baltimore Ravens, 34-17. I got to say, Ray, you know, I don't like the Ravens, but I will say this. We both thought that they might be able to muster up something, and they couldn't. And for me, it's an embarrassment to fire Cam Cameron and then turn around and put forth not just that effort, but the play calling was horrible. And to give Rice only 12 carries for 38 yards, and then, you know, you run five to Pierce and then like three to the fullback, Leach. To me, it's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Now, Torrey Smith getting banged up kind of hurts you. You know, Jacoby Jones got his receptions, Pitta seven. But to me, Flacco, his money is just dropping game by game. But again, 40 attempts, 20 for 40. It's horrible. 254.
Well, they backed themselves into a hole, the Ravens did, by going down. Right, they were down 17-0 at the half, and I think they were down 31-3 at the end of the third. But here's my thing: in this, sometimes we get a little too fancy with our football, right? These coaches, they work hard. All these coaching staffs work hard. They work, you know, 16, 18 hours a day. Some of them have terrible home lives because they spend 6-7 days a week
in the office.
Oh, they're lifers.
They're complete lifers. Yeah.
But sometimes we get caught up in the moment. And on this day, Ray Rice was not the best player on the field. Peyton Manning was the best player on the field. He was the second best player on the field. But on many occasions, Ray Rice is the best football player on the field. So if you have the
best
football
player. But he's never treated like that.
Well, that's my thing. If you have the best football player on the field, get him the ball. Get him the ball in screens. Get him the ball in the I formation, get him the ball in the single back formation. Get him the ball. Like Keyshawn Johnson said, give me the damn ball. Get him the ball. And it's as simple as that. Now, again, I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but when you look at the losses they've had, I can live with the loss if Ray Rice touches the ball 25 times. I cannot live with the loss when Ray Rice touches the ball. He had 12 carries, and then he had three catches. He was targeted seven times. But I can't live with that. I can't live with that. And they didn't go to him once on third down.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. But you know what? Let's keep it moving. Let's get into our segment, Champs and Chumps. I want to start off negative. You know, just antsy for the weekend. I mean, you know, after, you know, the sad devastation, the tragedy on Friday in Connecticut, I commend Victor Cruz and the Giants. You know, they had the logos of Sandy Brook, you know, Sandy Hook School, and it was just so emotional. But I got to say, they have got to be embarrassed to lose the way they did. 34-0 in Atlanta. The Falcons took care of them 12-2. The Giants are an ugly, ugly 8-6. The Giants are my chumps of the week. And to me, you can't put forth that type of effort. You just can't. I mean, I know that they're, you know, the defending champs and they bounce back here, and they, you know, and they oh, we play great when our back's up against the wall. Eli Manning, he threw some passes that looked like he didn't even know how to play the game. Forget 13 for 25, and, you know, he only had 161 yards passing and his INTs. Forget that. To me, it was just like Nix was there, three catches. Cruz had his couple of little catches. Hickson, five. Hickson's the only one to really play good. But David Wilson, the offensive line, the defense, they couldn't tackle. Julio Jones, I mean, just had a field day on us. And just the bombs, there was no energy. They didn't even they barely even breathed on Matt Ryan. So we got to keep it moving. But I will say this, the Giants, they better wake up, and they are my chumps of the week.
Yeah, I can't give you a bigger chump, but I can equal your chump. And
equal
my
chump.
My chump also laid an egg. Even a bigger egg, 41-0. My chump are the Tampa Bay Bucks going up against an historically bad defense, the New Orleans Saints defense, that is. They scored 0 points. So like the Giants, they scored a donut. Now, the Tampa Bay Bucks were on a roll for a while. They had won 5 out of 6, and everybody said, oh, they're a good young team, and they are. They're 6-8. They're a team to watch next year with all these young, talented players on offense, to some degree on defense. But to go out in New Orleans and not even score a single point. Now, I benefited from it because the guy that played Jay had 2 bucks, right? He had Doug Martin and he had Mike Williams. But this team, they get chumps. Now, not only that, but did you see on the sidelines, and I guess I'm okay with it because it's emotional game football, but did you see Brian Cox and Adam Hayward went into a little shoving match? You know, and then after the game, apparently some of the Bucks were saying that their schemes are like college schemes, and they're not, you know, maybe ready for prime time, and this is kind of an indictment on Greg Schiano.
Oh, and that goes back to Schiano and doing
that stupid
stuff where he likes to dive at the quarterback at the end of the game.
But everything was cool in the gang when they were winning 5 out of 6, though. Nobody was saying anything then. But I just think you keep all that stuff internally. You don't say that stuff externally. Maybe you go talk to the GM or something like that. You don't say that in the press. So anyway, my chump of the week, scoring 0 and giving up 41, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, my chump, after winning 4 and then losing 9, the 5-9 Cardinals at home took care of the most disappointing team ever right now, the 4-10 Detroit Lions. Can't believe they're 4-10. Shout out the champs, 38-10. The Arizona Cardinals got a W. And you know what? They deserved it. They played well. You know, out here in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area, everybody was, you know, happy because, you know what, it's been a brutal year. I mean, they've had a ton of injuries. They needed something positive. They finally got it. You know, we didn't even tell everybody last week, but for those who don't know, Kevin Cobb was put on the IR. And you know what? Ryan Lindley, you know, he's not great. 14 for 21, 104 yards. But their defense played big, and they played well. And, you know, Beanie did his little thing, and Stevens Howling, you know, did his little thing. And they did what they needed to do. I'm just glad that it looks like, you know, hey, you know, Larry Fitzgerald was there, but the young Michael Floyd, you know, 3 for 37, and, you know, there's some positive, but at least the Cardinals didn't go out just running the table of losses, and they're my champs of the week, man. Shout out to the Cardinals and Fitzgerald and the boys. They got a W against a team that's supposed to be good, the Detroit Lions.
All right, I'll go with that, and, yeah, Cardinals got a little high on the Kool-Aid, but then they lost 9 in a row. So they're not as bad as 9 in a row, and they weren't as good as 4 in a row in the beginning of the season. But my champ of the week is a young rookie quarterback, and it's not named Russell Wilson, because he could have obviously won it because he's the man every week.
We both give the best.
And it's not named Andrew Luck because he lost, but he's also won champ several, you know, been a candidate for champ of the week several times. His name is Kirk Cousins, and this dude stepped in last week and won the game for the Redskins and went out, and albeit it was against Cleveland, but you know what? Cleveland is much better, especially on defense, than that 5-9 record would lead you to believe. They're a solid team. I mean, they might all get fired and coaching staff and that whole transition from Mike Holmgren, but Cleveland's not that bad. So Kirk Cousins had a great game. Remember, he's a rookie. He gets, you know, especially against a rookie backing up another rookie. So during the week, he probably, when RG3 is healthy, he's not getting more than 10, 15% of the snaps. And he went 26 for 37, 329, two touchdowns, one interception, did his thing, 22 yards rushing, and put up 38 points for the Redskins in a must-win game, keeping the Redskins alive for the playoffs. So my champ of the week, Kirk Cousins.
Go ahead, Kirk. Well, real quick, Jets Titans tonight. I don't even know what's going to happen. I think, you know, it's at Tennessee. The Jets need it more. I think the Jets just happen to pull this one out because their defense will score, because Locker will be on the run and throw an interception. You know, you got to look out for CJ, 2K, Kendall Wright, Kenny Britt's been alive, Jared Cook. But I think the Jets pull this one out 20-17.
Well, Braylon Edwards is back, giving Mark Sanchez another target, he'll probably end up going to Green and Bilal Powell on the ground a lot.
And they should. Jared Cook they'll is run it out a lot, but I do think they'll pull one out, man. I think the Jets will pull this one out, even though as a Jet fan, you don't really want them to win because you want them to realize they were not that good and they need to rebuild. You know, they really need to rebuild. But what do you think score-wise?
I actually like the Titans in this one. I think the Titans pull out a close one, 21-20. And as a Jet fan, I got to tell you, it's better if the Jets wake up and decide that they're not that good and they need to make changes. The schedule makers gave them Arizona, Jacksonville, Tennessee, San Diego, and Buffalo to end the season. So now everybody thinks that the Jets could be a playoff team, but they're not. And I think that reality sets in today, and I think the Titans have pride and that extra day to prepare. I think the Titans win a close one, 21-20.
Now, the real interesting thing is tonight, Jeremy Lin and the Rockets come into the New York Knicks, the 18-5 New York Knicks. Wowzers. You know what? The one thing I will say, and the Rockets smacked the Knicks up, you know, a month or so ago, a couple of weeks back, right, when they went to Houston. This is going to be a whole different matchup. But what I like about this Houston team, besides Harden, they, just like the Knicks got four guys averaging double figures, and then Jason Kidd right at 9, who's probably, you know, maybe almost at 10 a game now. But the Rockets have five guys in double figures. So they got Harden, they got Parsons, they got Patterson, they got Lin, and they got Omer or Sheik, all averaging 10 a game, man. I mean, over 10 a game. And, you know, Delfino is playing good. So to me, this young team who now has, you know, their coach back and with Mikhail, I can't knock Houston. They're really, you know, doing some good things. You know, Jeremy Lin is not, you know, he's averaging 10 a game, a couple of assists.
He is who we thought he was. He's a decent NBA player. He's not a star. It's okay that the Knicks, you know, let him go, especially for the money that he wanted. And he's averaging. Good for him that he got paid, right? Good for him. I'm happy for him. I want nothing but the best for Jeremy Lin. And,
but look,
you know,
when you get 10 points, he's got only 6 assists, 4 rebounds. You know, he gets his, you know, 2 turnovers at least a game. He's not, you know, almost 3 a game. He's not anything outstanding.
Nope.
You know, he's, you know, almost 2 steals a game. He's sort of just an average player.
He's an average NBA point guard.
He can hide when you've got Harden, right? Because Harden handles the ball so much, and Harden is sort of like a 2 guard, but he's a point 2. You know, he can handle the ball and pass it as well as score. He's just a playmaker, Harden. I think the Knicks will probably, you know, win tonight and handle these boys.
Now, Carmelo's still a game-time decision, right? They haven't said if he's playing or not.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think he's going to want to play. So we'll see how he's feeling. I think he'll step up and play. What'd you think about my boy Lillard, who just had a big couple of nights, right, beating the Spurs and then beating New Orleans last night? This Portland team.
He hits that 3. The funny thing is that's the race right now for Rookie of the Year if Anthony Davis stays healthy. And those two teams, Portland and New Orleans were tied, and they more or less had the same number of points, and then Lillard hits the three to win the game as time expires. He's nice. You know what? Good for Portland. They have some – they got two guys taken from them and got nothing in return from injuries. You know, Brandon Roy and the big fellow from Ohio State. So
yeah,
they're able – yeah, yeah. Lamar Odom, especially because the next pick in the draft was Kevin Durant. So they're thinking to themselves, wow, do we take Greg Oden or do we take Kevin Durant? And you almost always go with the big man. So I feel for Portland, and I'm glad that this kid Lillard is turning into a player. So he's nice for all you.
Oh, and they got LaMarcus, Batum, Wesley Matthews, this kid Myers Leonard is pretty good. J.J. Hickson's working out for them, and he's young. They've got a nice young nucleus.
Yeah, they're just
I think
the
what
West,
they need to so. Sign is a real sort of a solid veteran that can come off the bench and score, right? Like a Jamal Crawford that left them. They need like a nice scoring somebody off the bench to help them, and then maybe another bruiser, you know?
Yeah, they're a little light up front, especially when they have LaMarcus Aldridge and Hickson in the front court with Nick Batum. You know, they're athletic, they're long, but they don't really bang. I mean, Hickson has been surprising because he's averaging 10.5 rebounds a game, and even LaMarcus Aldridge, who's not a great rebounder, is pulling down 8 rebounds a game. But they could use a little beef. You know, they used to have Joel Prisbilla for a while. They could use a little thuggery, you know, in the front court.
What'd you think about the man, the myth, the legend, Kyrie?
Ricky Rubio?
No, Rubio's
Ricky
no
Rubio's
joke. When he
back.
Came back and played great, but what about Kyrie losing to the Knicks but dropped 41?
So we talked about this off air a little bit.
Woo!
Kyrie Irving
Saturday Night Live
is he's nice. I mean, this kid is going to be an elite point guard in the NBA. Now the problem is there's so many other elite point guards that
yeah,
you know,
he's already top 6-7, but he can work his way up to the conversation where he's like, I'm just as good as D. Will or D. Rose or Rondo or Chris Paul. I mean, Kyrie, they're all interchangeable, if you ask me. Kyrie is right there, man. He's a beast.
Yeah, this is a golden age of point guard. Just
Ooh.
Like it's such a bad era for centers, it's a golden age for point guards. This point guard collection is fantastic.
The NBA is loaded. I mean, think about it. When you can go so deep to say that, like, Raymond Felton and Ty Lawson could be ranked, like, 11 and 12 at best
out
point guards.
Out of the top 10.
Yeah, out of the top 10, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, John Wall, you know, you've got guys that are talented that are probably not top 10 point guards.
Brandon Jennings, I mean, there's a lot of skill, a lot of talent. It's exciting, so we got to check that out tonight. There'll be some good college basketball games. You know, you can sign up at College Bowl Mania at ESPN and click on that and join the group, Ray and Tay, today. You want to have fun with us with our picks. Arizona got that win the other day in the College Bowl game. That was kind of nice. They beat Nevada.
Yeah,
did Utah
everybody
State
in Arizona's
win?
Happy now.
Yeah.
So
Utah State
yeah,
pulled
we had
it out
a,
as
we
well,
a,
right?
I'm sorry?
Utah State pulled it out as well.
Oh, your boys from Utah State? You what are they called?
They
the Aggies?
To.
USU?
Yeah, man. Why are you acting all Aggie?
USU, yeah. They won big, actually. They won 41-15 over Toledo. Yeah, USU.
Yeah, so. All right, well, I was 2-0. I picked those games. So we had a good show. We'll be back Wednesday.
Ray and Tay today. Thanks for joining. We had a great time.
Where you at? And we'll get to some emails on Wednesday, as well as we'll talk about the playoff picture and the end-of-season awards for the NFL and preview the Thursday game for Week 16. Ray and Tay.
Woo! Good Lord. Yeah, man. It's incomplete. New Year.
Okay, you ready? Say cheese. Okay. Who's racing? Yeah, but it's nice out here, right?
W-I-L-L-I-M. He's a truth baby. So here I am, W-I-L-L-I-M. He's the truth, baby. So here I am. It was May 25th, 1:25 p.m. William Truth Taylor was born, my friend. I hopped up in the bed to be your mom's human wedge. And after 25 minutes, you came out and I knew the ledge.
Wow.
Blood and all, and you were wrapped up in the arms.